All right. And then one more really important announcement, church. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we are going to have a drive-up worship and prayer time right here on location at Bethel Church. We're going to start parking cars at 5:30 in the lower parking lot. And we're just going to have a time. It's going to be pretty simple, but we're going to get together to worship the Lord together and pray together. And it's going to be so awesome to see you all. I am really looking forward to it. And by the way, in case you're wondering, we're doing this rain or shine, all right? It's on tonight, okay? So let's get together tonight right here at the church and have a great, great time. As Pastor Roger mentioned earlier this morning, my message is entitled, Are We Living in the Last Days? And the reason I want to bring this message today is I want to encourage you, that is to speak courage into your life, because so many times as Christians, I see Christians getting fearful about the last days, and that's not at all what God has in mind for us. Knowing that we're living in the last days actually brings us hope and it brings us faith. We look forward joyfully to the return of Jesus Christ. So when we see the signs of our times and we see the signs of Christ's return, don't let the enemy bring fear into your heart. Rather, rejoice that God is in control. You know, one of the most repeated admonitions in the Bible is this: do not be afraid. Do not fear. It's said over and over again in the Bible. Now, there's a reason for that. First of all, the Lord knows that fear is one of the devil's number one tactics. He tries to bring fear into the life of the believer. And when we give in to that fear, we make all kinds of mistakes, right? Because when we give in to fear, we're not thinking clearly. We don't pray clearly. We don't lead like we should, right? We don't give like we should. We pull back. We stop serving. And in essence, fear just makes a mess of our lives, right? And it's a big waste of energy. So I just want to encourage you, along with the Word of God, don't be afraid. Don't give in to fear. And when you think about the last days, don't let it strike fear in your heart, but know that God is in control. In Matthew chapter 24, and this is actually not our main text for today, but there's just something that Jesus says there I want to pull out. In Matthew 24, Jesus is talking about the end times, the times as things are going to look right before he comes back. And one of the things that he says in Matthew 24 at verse 6, he says, "See to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen. See to it that you are not alarmed." Church, listen. Don't buy into the world's lies. Don't buy into the devil's lies. Build your life on the solid foundation of God's Word. What we're going to see today is God prophesied many years ago, and he gave us his word so that we would not be alarmed in the end times. You know, a lot of Christians just give the devil way too much credit. They kind of see it this way. They kind of see the devil going around and doing this and doing that and making messes of things, and then God trying to catch up with the devil and fix everything he's doing. Listen, nothing could be further than the truth. Our God is always 10 steps ahead of the devil. God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. God knows everything ahead of time. The devil doesn't know anything ahead of time. Always remember that it's the devil trying to catch up, not God, right? So know that as these things begin to unfold, God has them all under control, right? So do not give in to fear. And when you're going through a fearful time, I want to give you two words of encouragement, all right? Two things that you should know whenever you're going through any kind of difficulty in your life. First of all, you need to know what you know about God. And then secondly, you need to know that you know God. All right, I'll say those again because they sounded the same, but they're not. You need to know what you know about God, and you need to know that you know God. All right, so what do we know about God? We know that God is good. We know that God is powerful. We know that God is faithful. We know that God has everything under control. Know what you know about God. But secondly, and actually more importantly, not only do you need to know what you know about God, you need to know that you know God. All right? Those are different things. Some people know a lot about God, but they don't really know God. And what's going to sustain you and carry you through the trials of life and through the fears of life is that intimacy with the Lord, your relationship with God. So as we come into these scriptures today, know what you know about God and know that you know God. Isaiah 66 and verse 1 says this about the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Wow. How awesome is God if the earth is his footstool, right? So don't ever think for a minute that the devil has anything over on the Lord. God is in complete control. Now, my message this morning is going to have two parts. First of all, we're going to talk about what are some of the signs that we could be living in the last days, right? What are some of the signs? And then secondly, what does that mean to us? And we're going to go to 1 Peter, and we're going to talk about what does that mean? If we are indeed in the end times, what difference does that make in our lives? So first of all, are we living in the last days? Well, in one sense, we've been living in the last days ever since Jesus came into this world, gave up his life on the cross, rose from the dead, ascended to the right hand of God, and poured out the Holy Spirit. Ever since then, in a sense, we've been living in the end times. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7 says, "The end of all things is near." And that was written 2,000 years ago, okay? So in one sense, yes, ever since Jesus, we've been living in the last days. But in another sense, I think we can look at the world around us and say, wow, so many of the scriptures, so many of the prophecies are coming to pass right before our eyes, and we could be right on the verge of Jesus coming back to this world. So are we living in the last days? I would say certainly we are. So what are some of the signs? What are some of the signs that the stage is being set for the return of Christ? Well, there's so many of them, but I'm going to focus on three. And I'm choosing these three because they've kind of come to light in these past few weeks, all right? So first of all, the stage is being set for the emergence of a one-world government and the appearance of the Antichrist. Now, again, whenever we start talking about a one-world government or the Antichrist, a lot of people, they start to go into panic mode. Listen, God's got this all under control. It's all part of his plan, right? Revelation chapter 13. Now, a lot of people, they avoid the book of Revelation because it's difficult to understand. And it is difficult to understand. But did you also know that the Bible says that the person who reads this prophecy is blessed? So I want to encourage you, don't give up on the book of Revelation. Even if you find it confusing, difficult to understand, stay with it because it's God's word and it is so worth it, all right? So in the book of Revelation, we see several scriptures that talk about this person, the Antichrist. And Revelation chapter 13 is one of those passages where it says, "The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but he had feet like those of a bear and the mouth like that of a lion." All right, so all these images, right, this imagery to describe this person. "The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority." So this is going to be a person who has great authority in the world. "One of the heads of the beast seemed to have a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed." And this is what I want you to see, this underlined portion. "The whole world was filled with wonder and followed the beast." So we see this person, this beast in the last days, this whoever this person is, and the whole world is going to be following him. So this indicates that the world has come together under some kind of one world government, and this beast is going to be leading that one world government. The Antichrist will come into power through deception, and then he will keep his power through fear. The Bible says that even the nation of Israel, for a period of time, is going to enter a covenant or a treaty with the Antichrist, but the Antichrist is going to break that treaty and come against Israel. In 2 Thessalonians, the Antichrist is referred to as the man of lawlessness. And it says this, don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness, this is the Antichrist, is revealed. The man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Now listen, I'm not saying this is happening right now, but what I am saying, church, is that the stage is being set. This COVID-19 crisis has revealed to us a movement toward a one-world government. Right? Because viruses don't recognize borders, and so attacking viruses needs to have a plan that doesn't recognize borders. And what I'm saying is, and it just makes sense in the natural. What I'm saying is just a push. It's a move toward a one world government. And on the face of it, it makes so much sense. But what's going to happen when these leaders put more and more pressure on the world for everybody to fall in line and to do everything they say, including worshiping the Antichrist? And if what the Bible says is true, and I believe it is, this one world government is ultimately going to be in fierce opposition to everything that has to do with God. Now listen, I see a lot of Christians speculating about who the Antichrist is, and they're fearful of his coming. Listen, we don't need to live in fear. First of all, I think there's a really, really good chance we're not even going to be here when people figure out who the Antichrist is. But secondly, I want to remind you, the name of this series, God's Got This. God's Got This. Check this out, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8. It says, when the lawless one is revealed, so again, this is the Antichrist, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. What's it say? How is Jesus dealing with the Antichrist? He's going to kill him with the breath of his mouth. Wow. So according to this verse, this is a completely one-sided battle. In fact, this is not even enough of a battle to really call a battle. Jesus is not going to break a sweat. So what I'm saying, church, is this. Jesus is not losing any sleep over the Antichrist, and neither should you. Right? God's got this. God's got this. All right. The stage is being set in another way. The stage is also being set for a one-world commerce and the mark of the beast. So these things kind of go hand in hand. Revelation 13, verse 16. It also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or their foreheads, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark. Now, listen, we know the technology to do this is already in place. It's already been developed and it's being used to a degree. All that's needed now is for some kind of world crisis to give the world leaders an excuse to compel people to take this chip or this tattoo or whatever it might be. And again, it's all going to make perfect sense. I mean, come on. Rather than being in competition with one another, why don't we as countries all come together and have one commerce together and one money together? But what happens, church, when in order to have this tattoo or chip or whatever it is, you're required to swear an allegiance to the Antichrist and to this one world government? What's going to happen then? And that brings us to the setting of the stage number three. And I believe this one is clearly seen in our world. The stage is being set for an all-out attack on the followers. Listen, as all-inclusive, all-embracing, as our culture claims to be, there's one group of people who are consistently singled out as being outside of the all-inclusive club, and that is followers of Jesus. But listen again, don't let this strike fear into your hearts, right? Don't become afraid. Don't become alarmed. Jesus told his followers 2,000 years ago that this is exactly how things were going to be. John chapter 15, Jesus said this, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. So listen, church, I want to encourage you this morning. Do yourself a big favor and stop needing to be liked, right? Stop needing the approval of the world and seek the approval of Jesus. He's the one we live our lives for. So church, the stage is being set. Clearly, we could be on the verge of the return of Jesus Christ. So now, we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to ask the question, so what does this all mean? If we are in the last days, what does that mean? And it's just amazing. God's word is so powerful. 2,000 years ago, God wrote in his word things that we're going to apply to us today so that we'd be ready and not afraid. So 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. And I'm just going to read a portion of this and then point out a few things. It says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, all right, the end of all things is near. Therefore, and so then a number of things that we're supposed to be about right now. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening. But rejoice, inasmuch that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. All right, so I'm gonna just pull out a few things out of this powerful passage of scripture. First of all, Peter says, look, here's how you respond. Be alert and of sober mind so that you can do what? So that you can pray. Be alert and of sober mind so that you can pray. To be alert means to be watchful, and it means to be attentive. Not necessarily to the things of the world. Be watchful and attentive to the things of God. You know, the things of this world and social media and all of the things that are happening in this world. Honestly, yes, be aware of those things, but don't let them become a distraction to the most important things in your life. Your relationship with the Lord. Be alert and of sober mind. Sober means to have a clear mind, an uncluttered mind. So we want to have an alert mind, a sober mind, so that we can do what? So we can pray effectively. So we want to be able to pray intelligently. We want to pray clearly. And we want to pray with confidence that God is in control. You know, as Christians, we're in this very unique position where we are citizens of two kingdoms. First of all, and most importantly, we are citizens of the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. But then we're also citizens of this world, right? For most of us, we're citizens of the United States. So here I'm here in this world and I've got a citizenship here, but my higher citizenship is in heaven. So what do we do when these two kingdoms are in conflict with one another? Well, God made a way for us and it's called prayer. In prayer, I pray in the heavenly kingdom, and it has an impact on the earthly kingdom. And it's a powerful position of authority that we are in as Christians. In prayer, we experience God's kingdom on earth, and in prayer, we enforce God's kingdom on earth. Jesus said when he was teaching his disciples to pray, he said, your kingdom come, your will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Now, you can imagine that the will of God is completely perfect in heaven. And Jesus is saying, this is how you pray. The way the will of God is carried out in heaven, we're going to pray that right now, right in this world. We're going to enforce the principles of the kingdom of God. So that means, to me, things like this. It means life and peace and healing and joy. We don't have to wait until we die and go to heaven to have these things. We can have them right now, and we can pray those things over our family, over our church, over our community, over our world. We can pray the kingdom of God come in this life right now. Someone say amen right there in your living room, okay? So be alert and of sober mind so that you can pray. And then Peter says this. He says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. And then what does that look like? Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. The days are coming, church, when we're going to need each other like never before. Now listen, I don't want to have in the United States what happened in communist China. In communist China, when years ago they shut down the church, they tried to shut down the church, they made the church illegal, but they couldn't shut down the church because Jesus said this. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not come against it. They cannot stand against the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so the church in China, during that time, they moved into homes and they grew, they thrived. God bless them. Listen, I'm not saying that's going to happen to us. I'm just saying if it did, God's not going to fail us. God's not going to give up on us, and the church is going to go forward. So I just want to encourage you, offer hospitality, meet in one another's homes, get in a life group, right? Love one another deeply. The time has come for us, church, to put aside our petty differences with one another. You know, before this COVID-19 thing, I would see on Facebook, you know, these arguments among Christians, like, I'm a Calvinist, I'm an Arminian, I'm a Pentecostal, I'm a charismatic. Listen, church, the time is coming when none of these doctrinal hair splitting is going to matter anything to us. It's time for the church of Jesus Christ to come together in love and power and set our differences aside. So be prepared to share with one another, to provide shelter for those in need. Get into a life group. Experience the love of God together. And then moving down a few verses, verse 12, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. So don't be surprised. One of the things that I've been surprised by is how many Christians are surprised. We shouldn't be surprised that these things are happening in our world, because God's already told us they're going to happen. So read your Bible, right? Be in the Word of God. Instead of listening to every YouTube message and Facebook post, read the Word of God and let the Word of God encourage you and bless you and lead your life, not all of these other things, right? Now, the next thing Peter is going to tell us is that while we may go through some trials in life, make sure you're going through those trials for the right reasons, okay? He goes on to say, if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. Even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear his name. You know, a lot of times Christians do things that are just crazy and silly and offensive, and then people come against them and they just say, well, I'm just suffering for Jesus. No, you're not. You're suffering because you're doing things that are hurting people, instead of loving them. Now listen, again, yeah, the world is never going to, they're never going to accept Jesus until we live that out before them. And I just want to encourage you as a Christian, live out the love of the Lord before people. Represent Jesus well. And then finally, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19, it says this, that we should commit ourselves to our faithful Creator. If we're in the last days, which I believe we are, here's what we do. Commit yourself. Commit yourself to our faithful Creator and continue to do good. Listen, church, the only way to have peace in the end times is to be all in with Jesus. It's to live a life of total surrender to the Lord. If in the end times you're still trying to live with one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world, it's just not going to work. It's not. It's going to lead you into confusion and fear and heartache. But when you get both feet into the kingdom of God, all in with Jesus, totally committed to the Lord, commit yourselves to our faithful Creator. Living a half-hearted Christian life is just not going to cut it, right? Now, there was maybe a time where you could get away with that. You're kind of one person at church and another person at home and another person at work. You might have been able to kind of juggle that and balance that. I'm here to tell you, in the end times, that's not going to work. It's not going to cut it. It's all in or nothing with Jesus. And I just want to challenge you. Choose Jesus. Choose to be all in with the Lord. Commit yourself completely to Him. Surrender completely to the Lord. And it's then and only then that you're going to experience the peace of God and the deep joy of the Lord that Pastor Roger talked about earlier. You're not going to have that joy of the Lord. You're not going to have that abiding peace in your life. You're not going to have clarity and purpose and direction as long as your walk with the Lord is a half-hearted walk. When Jesus asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. So I want to challenge you today in the days that we're living in. It is time for us as believers to be all in with the Lord, to love Jesus more than anything else, to place Him above everything in our lives, and to come to a place of complete surrender to the Lord. Lord, all that I am belongs to You. My future belongs to You. My job belongs to You. My family, Lord, belongs to You. My finances are in Your hands, God. And when we go all in with the Lord, church, there is no better place to be. There is no safer place to be. And perhaps you're here today and you're watching this service and you've never really gone all in with the Lord. Perhaps you've never given your life to Jesus. You've never surrendered your life to Him. Or perhaps you've done that, but you have found yourself making compromises here and there. Compromises with the world. And you can look at your life now and you can kind of be honest with yourself and say, yeah, I'm kind of half in and kind of half out, and I'm not completely surrendered to the things of God. Listen, there's good news for you today. Jesus is right now knocking at the door. And He says, whoever opens that door and invites Him to come in, He will come in and He will sup with us. He will live within us. So come to a place of complete surrender to the Lord. Now, perhaps you've heard this message and you're asking yourself, well, if Peter wrote all those years ago that the end is almost near, why has it taken so long? I mean, how could Peter be talking about the end times 2,000 years ago? Well, if you go back one chapter in 1 Peter chapter 3, he already explains that. So 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8 says, do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. So this is the picture of how it all ends. The only question is not whether it's going to end this way, because God has already says it is. The only question is, are we going to be ready for it? Are we ready for when Jesus comes back? Are we ready for the end times? Have we prepared our hearts by being all in with Jesus? And notice the admonition there in verse 9, everyone to come to repentance. You know, that word repentance It has some kind of negative connotations for a lot of people. They picture this, you know, white-haired, wiry-haired, you know, wild-eyed preacher pointing their finger and saying, repent. That's the picture a lot of people have with repentance. But really, think about it this way. What repentance is, it's turning away from the things that are killing you and turning toward the things that will bring you life. That's repentance, and it's a good thing. Repentance is not a bad thing. It's not a scary thing. It's a good thing. Turning away from the things that are killing you and destroying you and turning to that which has given us life. Jesus said that the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy, but I have come that you might have life. That's repentance. It's turning. It's turning away from that stuff and saying there's no future in that for me. But now I see through Jesus Christ, there's life and there's hope. So come to a place of repentance, of turning. And I want to pray with you right now. If you want to give your life to Christ or want to recommit your life to Jesus, you've come to understand as you're looking at the world around us, you're looking at the Word of God and you recognize, wow, this could be it. This could be it. Jesus really could come today. And I'm not just saying could come today. So are you ready? Are you ready? We all need to know that, and it's the only way you're going to know peace in these end times. So I'm going to invite all of you right now, no matter where you're at, would you bow your head with me in a word of prayer? And I want to invite you right now, if you've not given your life to Jesus, or if you're honest enough to recognize in your life that you haven't been all in. You've had one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world, and today you're making a decision to be all in with Jesus. I want to lead you in a prayer right now. Let God do a work in your heart right now. Turn away from those things that bring death and turn your heart over to Jesus who brings life. Would you pray with me right now? Lord, we come before you right now and we thank you, Lord, that in you there's hope. And there's life and there's peace and there's joy, God. And God, that you have so much not only waiting for us, but so much that we can experience right now, today, in you. And so, Lord, we come before you right now and we bring our hearts to you. And right now, if you want to pray to receive Christ in your life, just pray these words along with me. Lord Jesus, I bring you my life today. I ask for forgiveness for my sinful life. Jesus, I believe you love me. I believe you died on a cross for my sins, and I believe you've risen from the dead. And I believe that you're coming back, and I want to be ready for that day. Lord, today I open my heart to you. Come into my life. God, I want to be all in with you. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.